everyone. This is the Ready for Launch podcast brought to you by the Compete Network, powered by Clue. And this is a show where we break down product launches, share our favorites, and explain why they work. I'm Andy McOtter-Bicknell, and I'm here with my co-hosts Tamara Gorminsky and Jason Oakley. And the topic for today is best creator launch. And this is going to be a really interesting one because I think people have different definitions of what a creator is. They might mix it in with influencers or use them interchangeably. I know I do that sometimes. So Tamara, what's your definition of a creator?
Yeah, so I think of a creator as someone who's creating digital content, first of all. And I would say creating more than just social content. That would be, to me, the break point between like an influencer and a creator. So when I think about a creator, they're creating probably a variety of different types of digital content. So courses, newsletters, podcasts, probably in addition to social, but social acts more like their distribution channel or like a lead gen kind of capturing device as opposed to the actual content that they're creating themselves. What about you, Jason?
Yeah, it's interesting. I haven't thought too much about the definition to try to get specific, but I think it's basically that. And even if I think of it more simply, it's like anyone, it's kind of like an entrepreneur who is using their influence, their content on, yeah, like social media and communities to sell products they're building. Kind of how I think about it. Yeah.
I love it. And I think this topic was super interesting to us because all three of us, a part of what we do for a living is running a creator type business, right? I have my community, my newsletter. Obviously, the three of us collab on our course together. Andy, you have another podcast, a community as well. So it's kind of fun. I think like these are launches that we're personally studying all the time as it goes back to our own businesses, but then also a ton of stuff that we're going to talk about today, I think B2B brands can apply as well.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. I think that there's like the actual like content marketing strategy aspect of it, which is like the creator almost strategy versus like the traditional webinars, blog on the website type of like distribution. And then there's also like the individual, like almost like labeling someone like as a creator. So that's really unique too. So I'm excited to dig into this one. But before we dive in, Grayson, why don't you hit us with the leaderboard? How are we doing? What do the scores look like with this?
So yeah, the leaderboards are pretty interesting because we have a different winner for the show at the moment, or a leader, I should say, and we have a different leader for the audience score. So right now at the top of the episode, you guys decide leaderboard, we have Tamara with 3 W's under her belt. You know, kind of moving away from the pack. I'm gonna be honest, guys. It's gonna catch up. It's gonna be crazy.
All right. Yeah.
But at the top of the audience leaderboard, so the audience score, you, the audience, get to vote after each episode. They're on polls on LinkedIn. Actually, Jason is taking the lead.
Jason,
I think that's the one that really matters.
Oh,
can we all agree?
It's funny, like when we were first discussing, like, oh, like let's make it like about points, but like the points don't matter. When I was first diving into, I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, yeah, the points don't matter at all. Like, that's totally fine. But now, like over time, I've gradually come to like really, like the points really matter for me. And I'm like, okay, I need to like really like, I need to put in some time, put in some effort. Like we gotta like put our game face on. And so like, it's on. Like Dark Horse, let's get it. I'm into this.
I believe in you, Andy.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. I feel like it's going to be tight when it all comes out at the
it
end.
It will, yeah. For sure. All right. So should we do the randomizer? Who's going to go first?
All right. Randomize away. It's time for me to randomize. I've clicked it. Ooh, the results are in. Drum roll, please. Going first, we have Tamara.
Ooh, okay.
Tamara. All right. Here we go. You got this. Ooh. I'm rooting for you, but like not too hard.
Three, 2, 1.
All righty. So today I chose one of my very favorite creators and his most recent launch. So I'm going to cover Justin Welsh and the launch of the Creator MBA. And I'm actually pretty stoked that I'm going first because Justin Welsh is known as an online solopreneur, and he was one of the first or the earliest influencers on LinkedIn. So he kind of helped to create and shape this entire category. Prior to this launch that we're going to talk about today, he had actually built his entire business on 2 courses. That's it. The LinkedIn operating system and the content operating system. And together, combined, they've made him more than $3 million in revenue, which is pretty impressive. And a big part of his business and really most of his success comes from his activity on LinkedIn and then funneling everyone to his newsletter, which is called The Saturday Solopreneur. So what is his new product? The new product called the Creator MBA. It came out in January of 2024. And it was essentially his entire blueprint for how to start, build, and sustain a profitable internet business. It's like basically the culmination of everything he's learned over the past 3 years, packaged up and ready for mostly creators who are earlier stage in their business. So I followed Justin for a while, first on LinkedIn. I had the opportunity to have like a one-on-one session with him a couple years ago during COVID, which was awesome. And then when I was at Kajabi as well, where he was actually a customer. So I was watching this launch very closely. And I love a few things about this launch. But what I really love about all of the tactics that he used is that he did a great job of building demand and driving urgency. And so I'm going to walk you through how he did that for Creator MBA. The first thing he did was he really built this whole product and launch out loud. So we all know build out loud. It's been a trend for a few years now, but I thought he did an exceptional job of this. And he did this through a waitlist, but not just like a traditional waitlist where you ask someone to sign up and then you kind of notify them just before launch. He actually nurtured his waitlist for months leading up to the launch of his product. And he didn't even really call it a waitlist. So basically he said, if you're interested in learning more about the product, sign up for a special behind the scenes newsletter, the Creator MBA behind the scenes newsletter. So it's almost like a super elite version of his already existing newsletter. And this concept of a newsletter is something that people already know to expect from him. And they already know that it's going to be really high quality. So the first edition of that launched November 1st, which was 2.5 months ahead of launch. So then he sends out 11 different editions of this newsletter, digging into everything from like why he built the course, what it's going to cost, what's going to be included. And what I loved about this was it actually allowed for like audience feedback along the way. So he even shares in some of the newsletters, hey, I actually got feedback from last edition. And it turns out I'm actually going to dig deeper into this topic that you all want to know more about. And so he's able to incorporate customer feedback as he's building and finalizing the product. But he's also getting everyone really bought into the journey and not just the end product. He has this quote. He says in his newsletter, if you're anything like me, seeing how I'm going about building and launching this course will be both interesting and helpful. But I also want to show you just how much I'm putting into this course. I want you to see how comprehensive it's going to be and why it's like nothing else out there. If I can do this right and give you a lot more than just a shiny sales page to judge the product on, I know that you'll be more likely to buy the course, apply it, and build your own thriving business. So he's like basically telling the waitlisters exactly the like psychology he's using to get them to buy, which I just love. Okay, so reason number two, he uses a technique called an open cart. So an open cart is essentially when you allow customers to buy your product for a limited time. So you open the cart on one day and you close it on another. A very common creator device for selling products. But he does something pretty interesting here. So he has the open cart. It's open for 1 week. And he also offers really customized special edition packages just for that period of time. So 1 week, it's open. And he kind of talks a little bit about why he does this. He says, I want to close it. I want to collect feedback from the first round of users. And then I'm going to open it at some undetermined time in the future. So you don't know if this is going to be like a month later or 6 months later. So definitely creating urgency there. So he ends up opening it for this 1 week. He also says, I'm going to double the price when I reopen it again. So right now for 1 week only, it's $497. But when I reopen it in the future, it's going to be $897. And in fact, it is open again right now. And it is at that $897. So he did follow up on that promise. But this is what I love the most about this. So a lot of people, like creators, brands, whatever it might be, they kind of say like, buy now and I'll throw in this thing or I'll throw in this course I already built. It's like, how do you even know that someone wants that thing? It's like, it's just easy for you to give away. It's not necessarily something they want. What Justin did is he created two extra packages that you could only buy in this 1 week. So it was a do it together package where you get access to a peer community. And this is not available anymore. So if you didn't buy it in those first 7 days, like you cannot access this community. And the second one was he allowed people to apply for one-on-one coaching with him. And he only offered 5 slots. And again, once those like 5 slots were gone that first week, he would never offer this again as part of this program. And so I thought that that really was driving urgency for the right type of customer who would value that type of offering. And finally, I love that he treated the launch like a living program rather than this static campaign. We all know months of planning goes into a launch. I'm sure also the case for him. But what I loved was, like, as the week was going on, because I'm following along, he's sending out these emails and he's addressing the feedback and questions that he's receiving from folks during that open cart period. So halfway through, he records a 13-minute video walkthrough where he's actually answering some of these questions and, like, going into the tool and platform and showing folks what it might look like. He's sharing customer reviews as they're flowing in as the week goes on. And so I think this is, like, the perfect excuse for him to have an extra touch point with customers, right? But it also is allowing him to kind of pivot his marketing strategies pretty quickly. So I tried to follow up, like, was this successful? I'm assuming yes, because it's Justin Welch, but I wanted to see if I could find some numbers. So I actually found a newsletter article that he wrote the first week of February. So that would have been, like, 2 weeks after this launch. And he says that 4,000 customers bought this course. So if we used the lowest purchase price, which actually I assume the ARPU is higher because he had those other packages, but let's just assume $497, that would mean that this was a $2 million launch for Justin. Imagine making $2 million in 1 week on a one-person solopreneur business. I think it's pretty impressive.
That's insanely impressive. Holy crap.
That is crazy. That is so good. I remember, like, when I saw his waitlist page for it, I was on his site. Some reason, I was like, oh yeah, this is going to be a great launch, because he was talking about it so early on, and he does so many interesting things that, like, I see them for the first time when he does them. So obviously, like, you talk about open cart all the time, but, like, the way that he did, like, it's going to double in price and, like, driving urgency with, like, net kind of unique products that were only during that period of time, it's really good.
I was just going to say, yeah, I feel like Justin Welch is, like, the godfather of, like, creators, like, solopreneurship. Like, you know, it's almost like in the same way that, like, Tim Ferriss, like, really, like, almost, like, created this, like, 4-hour work week, like, that entire, like, that framework really, like, just shifted people's mindsets. However many years ago, I feel like the next generation of that is, like, what Justin Welch has done with, like, solopreneurship and creators. It's very, very prominent and impressive.
Yeah, he really is, like, the first, like you said, Tamara, he's the first creator on the scene. He's built a massive audience, and he almost, you know, now has that competitive advantage where his audience is so large that he's at a stage now where his launches are, like, $1 million launches, where, like, we're trying to, you know, have a small piece of that. But it just goes to show too, and this is, like, a point I make too in my example, it's like, is so much of it depends on the audience you have and the channels you have at your disposal when you have a launch. And I think that one thing that B2B companies can take from a lot of these creator launches is that so much of it is based on building an audience and having it to launch to. And if you don't have an audience to launch to, it doesn't matter how good the product is. It's not going to do well.
I feel like in product companies, so often are we afraid to, like, talk about the product before the product is launched. And part of this is just, like, the agile and iterative way that we develop software products. But I think for the businesses who are maybe willing to take a little bit more of a risk and, like, say, you know what, maybe we don't know exactly what this is going to turn out to be, but we know we're moving in this direction. Let's actually show a bit behind the scenes, like, even using the channels that you have, whether it's social, it could be, like, fun little social clips of, like, what's the product manager doing? What's the product marketer doing? What's the content team doing? And I feel like you can build some hype or even just interest, because once you start to get a little bit of the story, you want to know more. So for me, that was one of the main takeaways where I was like, oh, I could see a B2B business do that really well.
Yeah.
All right. I can't wait to hear about the next one.
Yeah.
Who's up next?
Should we do a drum roll for the second person?
Yeah, let's get it.
Andy, you are next.
All right.
Next up.
3, 2, 1.
All right, so I'm going to split my pitch into two halves. The first is talking about the creator themselves, and then the second half is going to be about the product, because I think understanding these two points are equally important here. So when I was picking the creator that I wanted to focus on, the first thing I did was define, like, what a creator was. Okay, so, like, what is a creator, right? We just talked about it in the very beginning here, but, like, I was kind of thinking about this to myself too. And so to me, most people, I think, they think of creators as either one, someone who has a full-time job, but then they also make side income from their creativity, or two, they think of a creator as, like, a content strategy. So in other words, you know, rather than the traditional way of producing content like blogs or webinars, whatever, you might have a large social media presence, a community, a podcast, a newsletter. It's like more like the channel that you're using that define the label of creator. And so for me, I gear my pick with the former definition in mind. So I wanted to find someone who has a full-time job, but despite that was still able to put together their own product launch based on their quote unquote personal brand and execute it successfully. Right. So personally, you know, me having a full-time job myself, I find myself just looking up to these people, especially, you know, a little bit more. And so to me, there's no person better that fits that mold than Steph Smith. So have either of you, you know, Tamara, Jason, have either of you heard of Steph Smith?
Yeah. Yeah. Her first launch of, I've used that as an example a couple of times. Her first product launch was awesome.
Okay, cool. So like just a little bit of background for other people that don't know who Steph is. So today she's the A16 podcast host. That's like her full-time job. But I think what most people know her from is her Twitter account. She also used to run Trends over at The Hustle, which was acquired by HubSpot. And then she also made a bunch of appearances on My First Million, the podcast. And that's how I learned about her. My First Million is my favorite podcast. And for those that haven't listened, it's essentially two co-hosts, Sam Parr and Sean Puri, talking about tech, startups, very casual back and forth. But every now and then they'd bring Steph in to talk about what's trending and it highlight, you know, what one of her biggest strengths were, which was deep internet research geared towards identifying upcoming trends. Okay. So, you know, she's very future oriented, very entrepreneurial. You can kind of get a sense for the kind of content that she specializes in by some of the episodes that she co-hosted. So some of the titles were 5 Internet Gold Mines to Spot the Next $1 Billion Trend, Jobs of the Future, 7 Tools to Make $150K in 30 Days. So that's just kind of to give you an idea of like what her specialty is. But then the actual interviews, you know, she comes off very well researched. Like just to give listeners an idea, like to peel the curtain back, we each have 7 minutes, right, to talk about like our launches. And for me, that's a blessing because once that 7 minute timer goes off, that's usually like the end of my research. Like I don't have much more to say on the topic. But with Steph, when she's talking, you kind of get this idea that like she could talk for hours. And so you get the sense of like, wow, how did she come up with this? Or like, wow, how did she dig up this information? And Steph, realizing this, finally put together her own product to help, you know, other people come to these same conclusions and come off very well researched and spot these trends. And it's called Internet Pipes. So this brings me to the actual launch portion of this pitch. Now, first, what is Internet Pipes? It's a product that's part community, part course, and it's all centered around giving people the tools and support that they need to, like I said, navigate the internet, spot trends, and prove out business ideas. Steph, well, let me just say, there's 3 things that I really love about this launch. The first is that she launched it in public. Okay, so she has almost 150,000 Twitter followers who are very engaged with her content, and she used that to her advantage in a few ways that I think really helped people get invested in this launch. So for example, number one, she announced a pre-sale, I believe in December of 2023 to gauge like the initial interest. Number two, she got people to chime in and help her name the Internet Pipes mascot. Number three, she asked for recommendations on like which platform to launch the course portion of Internet Pipes on, as well as like how she should price it. Okay, so now with that in mind, you know, like that's all really valuable for her. It's almost like she's outsourcing some of the decision-making on her part, but it's also really good marketing because it gives people like, it helps people get invested in the end result of like what you're putting together. The second part that I love is her pricing model. And this is where things get really, really interesting. So instead of just pricing her course at like $99 and calling it a day, Steph did a really interesting model where the price started really affordably. It was like just $30. And then after 30 sales, the price increases by $20. So I'm gonna poll you both again. So guess how expensive the price of Internet Pipes is now today.
Did it keep going up or was there ever a ceiling? Okay.
It keeps going up.
I don't know, $500?
I was going to say $250.
Okay. It's $400 right now. And she sold more than 1,600 units of Internet Pipes. And she has a refund rate of less than 1%. So quick public math. How much has Steph Smith made from this? Anybody guess?
I need a calculator for that.
All right. It's over $300,000 in just 3 months. Yeah, yeah. $300,000 in just 3 months. So from a financial standpoint, very successful. But this higher price point, you know, also acts as a proof point. Like when I was first launching, when I was first looking at it at $30, I thought like, oh, that's cool. That's interesting. And then when I checked again last month, I saw it was like 400 and I was like, oh, wow, like this thing really took off. People seem to really like it. I better buy it before the price goes even higher. And so as the price increases, it becomes an even stronger proof point and it creates a sense of urgency for people to buy it before it gets even more expensive. So to close it out, here's a summary of why Steph Smith's Internet Pipes was the best creator launch. Number one, it was someone from someone who I believe is a true creator. In other words, someone who's working full time, but still finding a way to create on the side. They're not just an entrepreneur who's deploying creator-esque marketing. Number two, it was hugely successful. She made 300K in around 3 months. And number three, everything from the pricing model to the way that she leaned on her audience to the product itself has continued to grow over time. And it's been very different from the traditional creator-led launch that we've all come to know so far.
I love that. That was great. That was a good one. I also love My First Million, but somehow have never heard her on an episode. So I'll need to go look up some of the episodes that you mentioned. What I love about
they're some of my favorite.
Are they? Okay. Well, you can send me a list later. But what I loved was the pricing one. So to your point, one of the most interesting parts of the launch, I've actually seen Caitlin from Why We Buy. You know, she runs Unignorable. She has used this technique as well before, and I've noticed. I don't think she's used it quite to the same way that Steph did here. I think Caitlin kind of capped it after a certain point. But I love that. It's like very, very interesting. And it does build social proof to your point. As it like as more and more people are buying it, you're like, oh wow, this must be worth it.
Yeah. Yeah. Her first launch was a content marketing course, basically. She did a similar thing to like figure out the price for that too. And I always thought it was a really cool example. Because yeah, it all kind of comes back to that whole building in public thing where if that's something that your audience is into, right? If that kind of makes sense as part of your, everyone who buys that product is also a creator or an entrepreneur who wants to see how people launch these products. It's like, it's just a combination of a number of things working well together. It's very cool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, and the other thing too, that I wasn't able to mention, but like, just because time ran out, but it was just the fact that like, with these like courses and communities, this isn't specific to like Steph. I'm sure it's similar like with Justin and other creators that we're familiar with, but like they also like keep their products dynamic and they're able to like, I don't know like why it's probably because it's not like software. It's like you're working with people. So it's just naturally a bit easier. You get feedback and you can implement it. But like I've noticed that she continues to then like share updates like, oh, we added this thing to Internet Pipes. We're starting to do in real life events based on like popular demand, like stuff like that. And so like, as you continue hearing like how much it's growing, like you, it's almost like even more like FOMO, like, cause you don't want to miss out. And so you like want to jump in and like be a part of like the growth, see what it's all about.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the cool thing about creator products is like, typically there's something that's like one person who's not super technical can build. And so it's easy to just adapt it quickly and to make changes and to take feedback in and, you know, and then it gives you something to relaunch or it gives you something to like drive more like purchases. It's cool.
I also think that we've both talked about Build Out Loud, right? And I'm sure Jason's going to too with his next one, but it's like, if we stop to think about why do all of these creators use Build Out Loud, it's because people are naturally curious about other humans. We're not really curious about other brands the same way that we are about humans, right? And so I think if you're a brand or you're a marketer at a B2B or B2C brand right now, and you're thinking of how can you kind of leverage this is, okay, are there creators who you could partner with where your audience would be really interested? And maybe you can leverage that to tell the story. And even going back to the first example we talked about last time around, like the Building Out Loud, maybe the audience isn't particularly interested in you building out loud, but they would be interested in how the creator is co-building the product with you. Or maybe the creator is experiencing the product. That could be cool. And so I think where my head goes with some of this is how do you leverage that interest in the human interest component from a brand perspective? And it's like choosing the right creators that it fits seamlessly. All right, we got Jason now.
Woo. All right. Jason, close us out. Bring it home.
3, 2, 1.
Okay. So I'm going to be talking about the launch of Creator HQ from a gentleman named Jay Klaus. And Creator HQ, it is an operating system. He describes it as the complete operating system for creators. So kind of like Justin, Jay is a creator in the creator space. And so I have like a soft spot for this too, because his Creator HQ operating system is actually a Notion template. It's a Notion operating system for creators. I myself have created a Notion operating system for product marketers. So I've been following this launch pretty closely, and it's pretty cool to see how he does it. So a couple of reasons why I like this launch: highlights the importance of building your marketing channels before you launch, which I've talked about a little bit already. It's a great example of rolling thunder. So everything leading up to, during, on the day of the launch, and then after, which I think we can learn a lot from as B2B marketers. It's authentic storytelling and launching in public, as we just talked about. Building a waitlist, solid example of that. Using an offer to drive urgency, although it is the type that Tamara kind of trash talked there, which is funny. And then lots of compelling social proof that he uses throughout. So let's start talk about Jay. He's the founder of a business called Creator Science. So he's been in the creator space since 2017. And I say this because it really highlights the what I said before about the importance of building marketing channels before you launch. You can't launch to an audience of zero. We talk about this in our course. A lot of times product marketers listening to this, you step into a company, they're like, hey, it's your first month. You got to launch this product. And you're like, okay, well, what channels do we have to work with? Jay launched this product. He has a community, which, you know, let's say it's over 500 members. He has varying levels, but let's say it's that. It's a paid community. He has a newsletter of 54,000 subscribers. He has a YouTube channel with 81,000 subscribers, a podcast that has, on average, 5,000 average downloads per episode. He has a Twitter account, 46,000 followers. Instagram, he has about 8,000. And LinkedIn, he has about 40,000. So he has a ton of, like, he uses all these marketing channels, and they're big audiences. And so, you know, it just shows the importance of, one, knowing what channels you're going to use and taking the time to build those out so that you can have this sort of launch engine, which I don't think B2B companies think about enough. He launched on April 11th, February 28th, so roughly just under 2 months before. He hinted to it in his newsletter. For him, a newsletter was a big channel for this. So he has a very like popular newsletter called Creator Science. And so he hinted to this. He basically said, hey, I've been building this thing in secret. All of his messaging around why he's building and how it's going to help people. Between then and April 11th, when he officially launched, he sent a total of about 9 other emails, dedicated ones, one like mentions in his newsletter that comes out weekly, all that. The main thing was driving people towards a dedicated waitlist for this. And so I wasn't on that waitlist, but I know, and I would imagine, sorry, that people on that waitlist also got other outreach, right? In addition to those 9 emails. So there probably is a lot more. At the same time, though, across all of his other channels, he's starting to work this in where it makes sense. So for example, he has a YouTube video that came out before this kind of hinting email. And anytime that this Notion template was essentially a Notion template to like manage his content, his publishing schedule, all that. So when there would be a relevant, like if he had someone on his podcast and they were talking about a topic related to those sorts of things, it was a great way to kind of tease this out because this was the template that he used. And so he would be able to talk about how he uses this and then hint to the fact that he was soon going to be selling it. 2 things I liked about this. One, we've talked about this. He's building in public. He's sharing his personal learnings. He's talking about the launch, things he's afraid of. He's kind of putting it all out there. But he's also speaking from personal experience about how he uses this product. So that's like, for me, when I launched the PMM Productivity Hub, it was all about, this is a system I've used. So he's actually selling something that scratched his own itch, which I really like and is a helpful thing if you're launching a product. Then he launched it on April 11th. So officially launched it, right? He, beforehand, he had like an early launch to his waitlist earlier that morning. And so heading into the launch, he was able to have early sales that he actually used as part of his launch email in terms of showing social proof of the types of like sales that were already coming in, which is a great way that he used social proof. On that day, all across those channels that I talked about in the beginning, he started to promote the launch of this product. So he had a launch video. He had very like personal walkthrough video explaining the value of it across all those channels. It all started to show up there. Right? So all those, I think it's like 8 different channels, right? He had a personalized walkthrough. He had a promotion on that day and the promotion is set to expire soon. So again, driving urgency. Now he has a dedicated newsletter masterclass. He has like a couple of courses that That one specifically, he's offering for free plus a live onboarding session. Now, Tamara, I get your point too about, hey, why don't you have something dedicated for this product launch? I think where this one makes sense is that he knows the people purchasing that Creator HQ template are also interested in these types of courses. So bundling it in, or at least that's my rationale for it. So the other thing that I'll talk about here is, I talked about a little bit already, but this idea of using social proof. So if you go to the Creator HQ homepage now, where you can buy this template, there is a ton of social proof on that page. And everything that he shared, whether it was in emails, right, landing pages, when he talks about it on social, he always includes social proof. And some of the ones, and this is something you see a lot of creators do, is they also tap into other creators that are influential in the space. And so he has other creators that are, he's had on his podcast, other creators that, you know, that they might do like co-marketing partnerships together, who are checking out this template and leaving testimonials. And in terms of social proof, it's not just a customer people don't know, it's someone that they trust. And I think that that is something you're starting to see a little bit more in B2B, but I think, you know, B2B marketers could also start to look at utilizing people who have an audience to also provide social proof. But anyways, he does that. And then I really liked how on the launch day, like I had said, he used his waitlist to drive sales early and then used those sales coming in through his payments platform as like social proof that, hey, people are buying this. Kind of like the Steph Smith, who is showing how, hey, I'm increasing the price because people are buying this, to show social proof around it. So all those things considered, really love this launch. Like I said, it hit home for me. And I think there's a lot of takeaways I could take from this. One thing that he learned, and I could probably save this for now, the comment section. There's a couple of learnings that he had that I'm happy to share too. But that's that launch.
Woo! Good job, dude.
I love it.
I love that one. Yeah.
I was also following this launch. So I'd love to see it from your perspective. Okay, so why don't you start with the learnings, and then I have a few thoughts about this and some of the other things that we've talked about today.
Cool. So the one thing that he learned, and this is like a positioning thing, and it hit home because I actually kind of felt the same thing. So he initially, when he launched it, or leading up at least, called it a Notion template. And one thing when he launched it, he actually shared this again, like sharing what he's learning. And this was a great, you know, following the launch, like he's continuing to talk about it and how it's going, which I like all creators are doing, like the ones we've mentioned. But he said, because I called it a template, people associate a Notion template with a much lower price point. So it's kind of like, what category are you positioning your product in? There's like an assumption of how much things should cost. And so I've always led with my system is calling it like an operating system, the system for founding PMMs, less of a, it's a Notion template for you to do X, Y, and Z. And so you say it's built on top of Notion, but don't start by calling it a Notion template, which I thought was one interesting learning.
That's totally, that's super important.
One word.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead, Tamar.
One word can change all of willingness to pay and perception of value. It's crazy.
Yeah, that, and then I think he talks about how he held on to his pricing too long. He wished he had shared the pricing earlier.
Sorry about that. I was just saying the one piece that like kind of relates to that for Steph Smith's launch as well was like the perception around courses, like acknowledging that, okay, yeah, like almost like courses have kind of gotten like a negative connotation almost like over the past few years, because so many people have started like releasing them, and some of them like haven't been great. I'd actually say a lot of them haven't been great quality. It might be from people who haven't actually like walked the walk and done the thing that they're teaching. But in either case, and so we're starting to see like these new like versions of courses come out where it's like, okay, these like dynamic courses plus the community. And so she had mentioned like kind of like her also having like a challenge of like how to position like exactly like what her thing is to like avoid that negative connotation. And so that is something to think about for sure.
So one thought I had, so two thoughts actually. So the first one is around the urgency driver. So I agree, it is good to have urgency drivers. And I think, Jason, to your point, really different things are going to motivate different people, right? So for some folks who maybe have been listening to Jay's podcast and are like hungry for all of his content, they might say, I think he gave away like his newsletter course or something like that. I forget what it is. Maybe they're like, yeah, I also want that. This is a great, like, I get extra content. For other people, maybe it's the offer, that like the actual discount, because I think it was like 10% off to folks in the wait list. So maybe that's motivating. And so I do think it is interesting to consider ahead of launch, what are the motivating factors for the different segments of your launch? And you don't want to have too many because you don't want to confuse people. But how do you have enough to activate the right audience groups? So I don't want to trash talk it. It was just, I thought that Justin did something very interesting there. The second one, though, and this is something that I noticed with both Justin's launch and with Jay's launch. I hadn't seen Steph, so I don't know if she did this or not. But they both used like the social proof from other creators. And to your point, yes, I think it can come across as, well, that's great, like legit creators. But to me, I just read it as like, okay, your friends all gave you a quote.
Yeah. It's
like,
true.
Do I actually think that like Justin Welch is using Jay's like Notion template? No. And so, and I'm just like making that example up. I don't know if he actually gave them a quote. And so I think this is relevant for B2B businesses, because I don't know about you guys, but I've sat in so many meetings where they're like, what logo do we put on the homepage? Let's put on this like one really cool company that everyone knows. And I'm like, that's not even reflective of your ICP. And so this is a whole other conversation, but I would be interested at some point for us to dig into this idea of like, what is the right level of aspirational, but like relevant social proof?
I totally agree with you.
True.
Yeah,
it's true. Like it's interesting because it's in the B2B world, you know, trying to think about how you'd apply this. It's like it is tricky because it's a lot of times it's tied to like companies using your product, less like a person who can give you like, you know, in this case here, when you look at, and maybe there's like a type of buyer that is influenced by this stuff, right? Because when I see like Kieran Drew, who's a guy who's like a very popular like course creator, had a successful launch that he talked about on Jay's podcast, it's like, yeah, some people might look at him and be like, bullshit, he did not actually use that product. But then some might look at it and be like, well, his content's great. If he uses this, then I should use this too.
Yeah. Totally.
I get your point.
I've fallen in the same kind of camp too. Like just like from like seeing some people, like how they like position their course or like their community, whatever. And I'm like, not really sure about that one. Like try again. But I do see like it could be like for like the maybe like, or I don't know. I think it's like the people who have been following this group for like the longer period of time is like kind of in the know of like how those things work versus people that are maybe like a step behind or like just discovered the creator. I don't know. I've felt the same way too, Jason, where I'm like, not really sure if this person's really using that product, and they just kind of like reached out. But you do have to be thoughtful about that.
Yeah, you do have to be. I think the one that worked well, like the most for me, is when you can see, I don't even know if it's like it necessarily works the most for me, because I find I look at so many things critical now. I'm like, am I a buyer or am I like a product marketer? But it's just proof that people are buying it. And again, that's also so like, oh, did you, you know, how much of that is just copy and paste or you see this longer email than you think it is. But yeah, I think that when you feel like people are buying this thing and getting value from it, that's why sometimes I think that people err on the side of just so much social proof that it just, you're like overwhelmed with, oh my God, this is really popular, right? That you don't even read them, but you just get the sense that, hey, this must be a great product.
Should we get to the vote?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's get to the vote.
Shoot them over.
The results are in and we have a winner. If we can have a drum roll.
Here we go.
Jason has won.
Hey,
Jason, you are that.
Good for Jason. Hey, look at that. Would you fancy that? Happy birthday, Jason.
You will never know if you won by your argument or by your birthday.
I'll take it any way I can get it. I think there's a lot of strong ones out there. Like I think I'll take it. Jay did an awesome launch, but the two you talked about, Steph and Justin, did ones too, so
they were all awesome.
We could have all three winners.
I mean, I think they're all three winning in their own way because they had very successful launches. And true. I would be interested in a follow-up like in a couple weeks to see if Jay shares any information on how successful
Right? I wasn't able to share many numbers. So that's one thing I'm curious to see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's definitely an interesting piece that I'd be curious about. Yeah, like this was a really fun one. I would definitely be down to do like a part two, like at some other time, because like this is a very different like go to market process for creators. You don't have a big team, like you're kind of just doing it on your own, or you might have like some help, but it's like not like, you know, crazy big budget stuff, so you have to be really creative. But yeah, I'm excited for, well, number one, congrats, Jason. I'm excited for our next episode, which we decided is the best video launch. And so lots of really great examples that we can pull for that one. I'm still deciding on what I'm going to pick, but I think that should be a really, really fun one too.
All right, that's a wrap for this week. A big thanks before we go to the team at Clue and the Compete Network for helping us make this show possible. Big thanks to you for tuning in. And before you go, go over to Tamara's LinkedIn. She's going to have a poll up where you can vote on your winner for this week. So definitely make sure you do that. That's how we decide the people's champ. All right, we'll see you on the next one.